May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. Happy Easter. Hey, that sounded quite normal, didn't it? How about if I was to wish you instead Merry Easter? Ooh, well, that sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Why is it, do you think, that we wish one another a Merry Christmas? That's okay, but not a Merry Easter. I mean, I actually thought John sounded a bit merry this morning when he was introducing things. Bit of a problem saying that. It sounds like he might have had a bit of being on the booze this morning, which I'm sure he hasn't. It carries that connotation, doesn't it, being a bit merry? Have a drink, you know, have a good time. Funny, isn't it, that these different words carry a different kind of signal. I wonder what you feel in yourself is the difference between being merry and being happy. Bit celebratory for Mary? For me, it's certainly to do with the circumstances. You know, it's a party, a celebration, have a couple of drinks, feeling merry. Happiness for me is more like a mood. It's like kind of the mood that I'm in. Oh, it's a sunny day, I'm feeling well, you know. Just had a really nice text from my daughter. I've got some photographs of my grandchildren. Yeah, feeling happy. Mood thing. How about if I wish you a joyful Easter? Does that feel different? Oh, somebody likes that over there. Got some thumbs up over there. Joyful Easter. Oh, joyful. What do you think? How do you feel, I wonder, what the difference is between being happy and feeling joyful? For me, this is really crucial because my happiness can go in a moment, just in a moment, change of circumstances. I'm actually not feeling very happy this morning.
Oh.
Thank you. And that's true. And it's simply because my long COVID is playing up right now. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm completely confused with the brain fog. I'm confusing other people. I've got no energy to speak through. It's right through the floor. And I'm forgetting things. Also, I've got a streaming cold. Don't get too near to me at the end of the service. Isn't it funny, though, that those sorts of things can just, like, you feel miserable with it. Happiness can go in a moment. What about, though, the more serious things? What about if you're living with chronic pain? What about if you've suffered bereavement? Your happiness is so dependent upon mood, things being good, stripped away when things go bad. And that's like a lot of emotions for us, a lot of our moods, up and down, here and there, different things happen. We're up one moment and down the next. Let me tell you that joy is not like that. Because joy comes from the presence of the risen Christ in the very, very heart of you. And the risen Christ has done something really, really important. Hi guys, nice to see you. These guys have got the same surname as me, so they're nice. Yeah. One of my really favorite films, call me sentimental, but one of my really, really favourite films is The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. I don't know if you've seen that, but one of the refrains that goes right the way through the movie is this: everything will be all right in the end. And if it is not all right, it is not yet the end. That's quite cool, isn't it? Everything will be all right in the end. If it's not yet all right, it's not yet the end. This actually echoes Christian tradition really, really well. I'm thinking of Julian of Norwich, who famously said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." Now, she wasn't doing that thing that happens in American movies all the time, when something's going really, really, really wrong, someone's going to die, and there's somebody in the script that says, it's okay, everything will be all right, and you just know that they're going to snuff it, don't you? Whenever that comes up in the movie, you know they're goners at that point, because it never is all right. It's not saying that. It's not saying that everything in our lives will be fine. And don't get me wrong, when I was telling you why I'm unhappy at the moment, I wasn't actually complaining. I was just giving an example of how moods can swing and what kind of things can cause it. Because that sort of stuff happens all the time. That's what life is like. But there's something deep, deep within us, a deep reality, which is different. All shall be well. Not in the sense of like, oh, all the circumstances will be good and happy and nice, but all at a very deep level will be well. It also, that echoes something from St. Paul, actually, in his letter to the Romans, where he said, all things work for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And that's a challenging thing. What about that? All things? Do you mean like everything? Even the really, really, really dark stuff? Can God really bring good out of that? It's a big claim, isn't it? But that's the promise. And of course, at the heart of all this stuff, starting there from St. Paul, going on to Julian of Norwich, even appearing in the best exotic Marigold Hotel, is the intensely amazing transformation accomplished, wrought by Jesus in his resurrection from the dead and being at the heart of every one of us. Think of it a bit like this. Imagine a mountain. It's been there hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years. It doesn't change very quickly. It's stable. It's strong. Around this mountain, often you get really, really bad weather systems. There's all sorts of weather happens all the way around the mountain. Sometimes the sun's shining and lovely, lovely spring breezes, but at times there's blizzards and lightning, darkness and thunder, storms. But the mountain knows that as bad as it is, and some of those lightning strikes might strike it, it knows that they pass. It's passing. Weather's just weather. It will go. It's not the mountain. Do you know that you, within you, in the very core and heart of you, have this mountain? You have a place where God is. You know, he's the source of your life. Jesus promised that he would put within each one of us a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. You have the risen Christ, the power, imagine the power of that in the heart of you. And that's why I can say to you with real confidence, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. I'm not saying that you don't have some bad weather patterns. You know, we have bad weather, right? And sometimes things can become chronic, and then the bad weather becomes like a climate, and the climate can be poor. It does not change the stability of the mountain. Why is it that we don't feel this? Why is it then that we often feel shifted and changed in who we are and identity? Where we say, I am sad today, or I am unhappy, rather than saying, I feel it. Because there's a difference. You might feel unhappy or sad, but you are one with Christ at the very heart of you. This source of life is feeding you with life right now. Why is it that we can't feel that very often? Well, it's often because there are bits of us which have been shaped by history, by the things that have happened to us. And we've been trained to think and react in certain ways in life. And some of our responses, some of our default responses, frankly, aren't that healthy. You know, we learn some pretty unhealthy ways of thinking and responding. And the way we see is often shaped in that way too. So we can sometimes go through life feeling, whole day, feeling so negative, giving negative responses and feeling bad. It doesn't change the fact that at the heart of you, there's something that could have made your day different from that. Book of Revelation, which is a weird book, but nevertheless, full of power. In the book of Revelation, the risen Christ comes and stands before St. John. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they will eat with me." Now, there are all kinds of doorways in our lives that we keep slammed shut. Because actually, although our responses, the way that we live, our psyches, our responses, the way that we act, sometimes causes us distress and frankly doesn't really work, because often they're strategies that we lay down as children, right? But now we're adults, we don't change them. There are closed doors in your life. And the spiritual journey begins by opening the door of your will to allow the risen Christ in, and allowing what is already at the heart of you to begin to suffuse the rest of you with his presence. Again, in the Gospel of John, that's called being born again. Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a metaphor, but it's a real thing. It's like, whoa, this is like a new life. This is like, whoa, this is like being born over again. I can have a new start now. I can lay down some new patterns of thought and behavior. How about that? That sounds good, doesn't it? And then the spiritual life is every day opening more and more of those doors, so that more and more of you is open to the suffusing, powerful, extraordinary light which is at the heart of you, the presence of the risen Christ. How do we do this? Well, we need to take time to sit with God, frankly, because otherwise we just do things on default, you know, just like the way you do things is like the way you do things. We need to take time to sit and be present, becoming aware of what our thought patterns are like, stepping back a bit actually and saying, oh right, that's my response, is it? Okay, that's envy. Oh, that's jealousy. Right, oh, that's lust. That's gluttony. And actually putting some distance between our responses, not identifying ourselves with those responses anymore, because they're not us. We're not the weather, we're the mountain. And beginning to see that there is something at the heart of you which is very strong, very powerful. It'll change your life. Amen.